Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, Saints, and welcome to another edition of Contending for the Faith. Of course, I'm filling in for my dear brother Moses Henry Jones, and I am the Wolf Tracker. And I am in studio today to talk about Bradley Knight, Paula White's dim-witted son. The number here for Bradley Knight to call in is area code 516-418-5978. Again, 516-418-5978, and we know that Bradley has lots of time on his hand, and this is why I played the little school bus nursery rhyme for him, because it was my way of attracting him to the show, since we know that Bradley needs to go to Romper Room. And that's where I just dropped him off. I just dropped off Bradley at Romper Room so he can have a good day with the other children in kindergarten. While Bradley's in Romper Room, playing with the kids and playing with the toys and learning his ABCs, we're going to do this show. And I'm going to prove to you that everything Paula White has said about her son is a complete lie. He is no phenom. He is no anointed preacher sent from God. Absolutely not. Bradley Knight, the best way for me to describe Bradley Knight is to compare him to the brainless scarecrow in The Wizard of Oz. Well, let me play this audio for you. This was Bradley's mama bragging on her son, telling anyone who would listen to her mindless drivel that Bradley Knight is a very special preacher. And we're going to just, we have to play it every day because, again, it is the entire basis of the show. So here is Paula White. Okay. Here you have Paula White sharing somewhere. Who knows where this dopey sermon was preached at. But here she is telling the audience, giving them some psychobabble. And then after she finishes with her psychobabble, she begins to brag on her son, and she begins to speak about Bradley in glowing terms. Here's his mama.
With, you'll have connection with. Remain standing, I've almost through. So contact creates connection, and connection creates impartation, which determines output. So whatever's imparted to you is what's going to come out of you. What comes out of me is a result of what is going into me. Proverbs 13:20.
That's what we call jackass psychobabble. Jackass. This woman is a hee-hawing, braying jackass. And that what's coming out of her mouth is psychobabble.
The girls today say, my son, who unlike your sons, he went into a very dark area, but my son today is one of the most profound, powerful preachers, profound revelation, like unbelievably pastors the church, moves in the supernatural. I mean, sees, I mean, just it's a phenom.
There you go. He moves in the supernatural. He's a phenom. He's just mighty in the scriptures. He's another Apollos. Another Origen, another Cyprian, another Tertullian, another Hippolytus, Augustine, Chrysostom, Ambrose, Irenaeus, Jerome, Victorinus, all wrapped into one huge egg roll. That's what he is. That's what her son is, she claims. Oh, he's so special. Oh, he's so gifted. Oh, he's so anointed. Oh, he's so brilliant. The kid is stupid. The kid is simply stupid. And look, when you're looking at him, when he's preaching, he looks straight at the camera and he's cross-eyed. And look at him. I mean, it's too much for him to handle. Kid is just plain stupid. And now, look, I'm putting it in nice terms. That's all I'm doing. Well, that's his mama. That's what his mama said about him. He's a phenom. Okay, well. This is him. This was him yesterday. This was Bradley. This was Bradley. This was the show I did yesterday. And Bradley's talking about how God, the God of judgment, is a pagan God. Okay, that was yesterday's show. That's what he. And I just want to tie in today's show with what Bradley said yesterday. Here's Bradley yesterday talking about God, like if he knows who God is, like if he knows who the God of Scripture is. He's clueless. But here's Bradley. This is from yesterday's show.
The deceiver. God is the liberating God. He's not a God that is waiting for you to screw up so he can pour out his wrath and curse you and punish you. And that God is not the God of the Bible. That is a pagan God. Okay, I just...
Did you hear that? He said, the God who judges his people is not the God of the Bible. He's a pagan God. I'm going to play this for you again. Here it is again. Here's little Bradley, who I just dropped off in Romper Room, because that's where he needs to go. He shouldn't be behind a pulpit. He should not be behind the sacred desk. The sacred desk is not for retarded people. The sacred desk is not for ignoramuses and nitwits and halfwits. The sacred desk is for people who can rightly divide the word of truth, which, of course, Bradley and I cannot do. So here he is again, trying to tell us who the God of the Bible is. And the God of the Bible is not a God who judges his people. Oh, no, that's a pagan God.
It's the liberating God. He's not a God that is waiting for you to screw up so he can pour out his wrath and curse you and punish you. And that God is not the God of the Bible. That is a pagan God. Okay, I went there a moment.
All right, so let's go to a scripture that I didn't give you yesterday, because I gave you so many scriptures yesterday, but here's another one. And I'm giving you this one today, and I'm playing this little sound bite from yesterday's show to tie in yesterday's show into today's show. Here is Hebrews chapter 10. Bradley, listen, Bradley. Pay attention, Bradley. Pay attention. Straighten out your eyes. I know they're cross-eyed by now, but straighten out your eyes. It says in Hebrews chapter 10, it says, for we know him that hath said. Now, Bradley, you should know who he is. But the author of Hebrews tells the Hebrews, for we know him who hath said, and who may that be? That's God. Vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. Says. Again, let me read it from the top. For we know him who hath said, and every Christian should know this God. He's not a pagan God. He's the God of Scripture. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of Moses, the God of the prophets, the God of the kings of Israel, that God. For we know him who hath said, vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his what? His people, the Lord of the church. He shall judge his what people? Well, listen to Bradley Knight. Listen to this little moron scarecrow. Listen to him.
Those who messed it up. I'm going to judge the deceiver. God is the liberating God. He's not a God that is waiting for you to screw up so he can pour out his wrath and curse you and punish you. And that God is not the God of the Bible. That is a pagan God.
No, that's the God of the Bible. For it says, for we know him who hath said, vengeance belongeth unto me. I will recompense, saith the Lord. You better read that to your mama. You better read that verse to your mama. Your mama better memorize that verse and repent. I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, let me remind you, Hebrew readers, the Lord shall judge his people. Oh, yes, the Lord will judge his people. And verse 31 says, it is a fearful thing. It's a scary thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Oh, boy, you better tell your mama it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. You better tell her. You better warn her. So that was Bradley Knight yesterday in yesterday's broadcast. Today I have new audio. We have new audio on Mr. Bradley. New audio. Okay. So let's play the new audio. Audio has to do with Bradley and the Protestant Reformation. Bradley and the Protestant what? Reformation. Okay, let's see. Let's see what Mr. Scarecrow says here. Let me bring it up to where I need to bring it up to, so this way you don't have to hear a lot of his gibberish. Okay, let me pull it back now. All right, here we go. just got to put it at the right spot because I don't want you to hear. And it's not that I don't want to give you the context. The context is irrelevant. He's all over the map. He's like his mother. He starts preaching at Genesis, and he winds up in Ezekiel. Okay, so here is Bradley, and we want to focus on his comments about the Protestant Reformation and division and the Roman Catholic Church. That's what we want to focus on today.
Lies, church, we got to be careful of this one. When we talk about our neighbor, when we mischaracterize our neighbor, even in ignorance, when we begin to judge others, when we begin to look at them and say, ooh, talk about them to somebody, every time we open our mouth about somebody else, we're at risk of making God angry because he hates a false witness. This is a classic example where a Disney movie got it right. Who was it? Thumper, if you have nothing good to say, say nothing at all.
So instead of reading Bible verses, his authority for what he preaches is Thumper from the movie Bambi. Did you just hear him? He is referencing the little rabbit Thumper in the movie Bambi. Oh, Disney got it right. No, Disney gets nothing right. He's endorsing Disney. Can you imagine? This is a preacher endorsing Disney. Disney got it right. No, Disney never gets it right. Disney is a tool of Satan. That's right. Disney is a tool of Satan. Look at all the garbage they promote today. Disney got it. Now, remember, this is the phenom. This is the present-day Origen. This is the present-day Cyprian, Tertullian, Hippolytus. This is the present-day Augustine, not the Augustine of Hippo. No, this is the Augustine of Apopka. This is the Clement, not from Alexandria, but this is the Clement of Apopka. This is the phenom. He's one of the leading voices in the church today. Oh, my goodness. He's so anointed. He's so powerful. He moves in the spirit. He gets so much revelation. Yeah, from Thumper. From Thumper. See, that's why I took him to Romper Room. That's why I dropped him off at Romper Room, because they're going to play a Disney movie over there for him to entertain him, because that's, instead of quoting scripture, he's quoting Thumper. My goodness gracious, what a moron. And this is the phenom. This is the person we're going to hang our hopes on. This is the new church scholar, recognized by all. He's a scarecrow. A brainless scarecrow who quotes imaginary rabbits on the silver screen. That's what he's quoting. Thumper, Bambi's friend. He's getting his wisdom from Bambi's friend. Wow. Here it is again. Can't make it up.
You, I'm going to work miracles through you. I'm going to work power through you.
No, I don't want
to. Just a second.
No.
We go from worship when we begin to judge others, when we begin to look at them and say, ooh, talk about them to somebody every time, and things made of hands.
I just want to get it right. I don't want to listen to all his mindless gibberish. Okay. Let's start here. Okay. Here we go.
Now think about why God would be angry. This out lies, church. We got to be careful of this one. When we talk about our neighbor, when we mischaracterize our neighbor, even in ignorance, when we begin to judge others, when we begin to look at them and say, ooh, talk about them to somebody, every time we open our mouth about somebody else, we're at risk of making God angry.
Really? What Bible verses do you have for that? Really? Can you substantiate that with a proof text? No, he can't. He can't.
Because he hates a false witness. This is a classic example where a Disney movie got it right. Who was it? Thumper, if you have nothing good to say, say nothing at all. But this is the one. This is the one you see most. Those who sow division among the brothers. Let me tell you something. I'm thankful the Reformation was necessary in the 1600s. It was important. These things are all important. And I'm glad, as Protestants, that Martin Luther did what he did. I'm glad that the Catholic Church reformed. I'm glad that there are various reforms that have taken place within the church. But I nonetheless believe that every time a church divides, it breaks the heart of God and makes him angry. Even when it's justified. Division is a sin. It's a sin. There can be a pastor that is wrong, and they can be in need of judgment. But the person who takes it upon themselves to divide that church will nonetheless provoke the wrath of God. Okay.
All right. So let's break that down. Let's break down what he said about Luther. Let's break down what he said about the Catholic Church. Let's break this baby down. Okay? Here it is again.
Be careful of this one. When we talk about our neighbor, when we mischaracterize our neighbor, even in ignorance, when we begin to judge others, when we begin to look at them and say, ooh, talk about them to somebody, every time we open our mouth about somebody else, we're at risk of making God angry because he hates a false witness. This is a classic example where a Disney movie got it right. Who was it? Thumper, if you have nothing good to say, say nothing at all. This is the one you see most. Those who sow division among the brothers. Let me tell you something.
All right, let's listen up, because this is where I want to start breaking it down.
I'm thankful the Reformation was necessary in the 1600s. It was important. These things were all important. And I'm glad, as Protestants, that Martin Luther did what he did. I'm glad that the Catholic Church reformed.
Okay, so he's happy about the Reformation. He's happy. He's happy. He's happy. Yeah, it was a good thing. Whatever Luther did, which he isn't even specifying, it was okay. And the church and the Roman Catholic Church reformed itself. Well, what is the Protestant? What is the Reformation? Okay, it was a 16th century movement for the reform of the Roman Catholic Church, which never reformed, wrote the Roman Catholic Church. Again, what was the Reformation? What was Luther's goal in nailing the 95 Theses to the door of Wittenberg Castle Church? What was his whole purpose? It was a 16th century movement to reform the Roman Catholic Church, which never ended, which never produced that result. It never reformed the Roman Catholic Church. In fact, the Roman Catholic Church got worse. So this fool, when he says, oh, and the Roman Catholic Church reformed, it never did. It doubled down on its sin. It doubled down on its wickedness. So it was Luther's attempt to reform the Roman Catholic Church, which didn't reform the Roman Catholic Church. Because you can't, listen, you're not going to reform Satan's church. Satan won't allow it. So, again, it was a 16th century movement to reform the Roman Catholic Church, which did not reform the Roman Catholic Church, and ended in the establishment of the reforming Protestant churches. The churches said, you know what, Rome won't reform, Rome won't change. Therefore, we're leaving Rome, we're separating from Rome, and we're establishing the Protestant churches, the Protestant and Reformed churches. So he says, yeah, the Reformation was good. Oh, I agree with what Luther did. Yeah, Luther's okay. And the Roman Catholic Church reformed herself. No, she did not. I don't know what history book Little Thumper is reading, but I don't know what history book he is consulting, because the Roman Catholic Church never reformed. There's a thing called the Counter-Reformation, Bradley, the Counter-Reformation. As soon as Luther tried to reform the church, the Roman Catholic Church countered, opposed the Reformation. It never reformed. It became more wicked. So, to reform is to make changes in something in order to improve it. We as believers are always being asked to reform. God is always asking you to reform yourself each and every day as born-again believers. To reform is to make changes in something in order to improve it, not in order to worsen it, Bradley. The Roman Catholic Church did not reform to improve. It never did. To reform is to abandon an immoral or criminal lifestyle. That's what it means. That's it. Listen, if you're a prostitute and you come to Christ, you're no longer prostituting. Someone should send your mama a memo. If someone was a thief, if someone was a criminal before they came to Christ, after they come to Christ, they shouldn't be fleecing people by asking them to give $91 to the Lord but deposit it in Paula White Ministries. That's not reformation. It's not reformation. To reform comes from the Latin to form or shape again. So here's Bradley again. Here's Bradley. And I love Luther. Yeah, he's okay. He's giving him like it's like a weak thumbs up. Here it is.
Now think about why God would be angry. We got to be careful of this one. When we talk about our neighbor, when we mischaracterize our neighbor, even in ignorance, when we begin to judge others, when we begin to look at them and say, ooh, talk about them to somebody, every time we open our mouth about somebody else, we're at risk of making God angry because he hates a false witness. This is a classic example where a Disney movie got it right. Who was it? Thumper, if you have nothing good to say, say nothing at all. But this is the one. This is the one you see most. Those who sow division among the brothers. Let me tell you something. I'm thankful.
Now focus on the word division. Those that sow division. Bradley doesn't like division. Because division is a major part of reformation. Division, saints. Learn something today. Division is a very important part of reformation. Very, and I'm going to show you scripturally why division, and he hates division. And he hates it the same way the Roman Catholic Church hated it, because when people divide, they're in the process of truly reforming. But Bradley hates it. So here it is again. This is how you know that this dim-witted scarecrow who currently is at Romper Room is a tool of Satan. Here he is.
The one. This is the one you see most. Those who sow division among the brothers. Let me tell you something. I'm thankful the Reformation was necessary in the 1600s. It was important. These things were all important. And I'm glad, as Protestants, that Martin Luther did what he did. I'm glad that...
He's no Protestant. He's no Protestant. He's not. He's an ecumenist. He's trying to keep everybody in the same boat. He doesn't want two boats or three boats or four boats. He wants one boat and everybody in one boat singing Kumbaya. That's what he wants. In fact, he's not endorsing Martin Luther. He's not really too happy. That's not a glowing endorsement of Martin Luther and what Martin Luther did. It's not. It's a weak endorsement. It's a half-hearted endorsement. That's what he's given. A half-hearted endorsement of Martin Luther.
These things are all important. And I'm glad, as Protestants, that Martin Luther did what he did. I'm glad that the Catholic Church reformed. I'm glad that there are...
Bradley, can you write a thesis giving me historical proof where the Roman Catholic Church reformed? All historians who have written on this period of church history tell us that the Roman Catholic Church launched a counter reformation, a counter, an anti-reformation, if you will, because it is the church of Antichrist. It will not reform. So you're lying through your teeth. Either you're lying or you're stupid and you don't know the facts, and I would have to say you're stupid and you don't know the facts.
There are various reforms that have taken place within the church, but I nonetheless believe that every time a church divides, it breaks the heart of God and makes him angry.
Every time the church divides, it breaks the heart of God and it makes God angry. Wait a minute. You just told us yesterday that God doesn't get angry, that God doesn't judge his people. You just gave us that baloney yesterday. Now you're speaking out of the other side of your brain. Now you're telling us it breaks the heart of God and it gets him angry. That's nonsense. It makes God happy when we improve ourselves. On the contrary, it makes God happy when he says, come out from among them and be ye separate, my people, and we obey his voice. It pleases God when we come out from among them. It doesn't get God angry. It's the complete opposite, you dimwit. Oh, it breaks the heart of God and makes him angry. Oh, my goodness.
That there are various reforms that have taken place within the church, but I nonetheless believe that every time a church divides, it breaks the heart of God and makes him angry.
Did you get that from Dumper? Did Dumper tell you that? Did Bambi tell you that? Is that where you got it from? Can you quote chapter and verse from the epistle from Thumper? Moron.
Even when it's justified.
Oh, even when it's justified, it gets God angry. Even when the people who are splitting the church are right, it makes God angry. Is this guy stupid? Is this guy stupid? Think about this. Think about this. Here you are, you're in a park. It's a summer day. Everybody's outside, either barbecuing. This is a national park. We're all outside. We're barbecuing. Some of us are playing volleyball. Some of us are tossing horseshoes. Some of us are playing softball, whatever. We're all in the park. We're all in one. Let's say we're all in Central Park in New York City. And all of a sudden, here comes a gunman with a machine gun and starts to mow people down. A 911 call comes in. A 911 call comes in. There's a shooter in Central Park. The police show up. The police show up to do their job. And they neutralize the gunman, they shoot the gunman, they neutralize him, they kill him. He now can no longer kill any more people. Now here comes the mayor of New York in his press conference. Well, ladies and gentlemen, there was a shooter, some person, we have not identified him as yet. We're going through the process with the FBI of identifying who this person may be. But I'm very mad today. I got to tell you, I'm upset. I'm upset because the New York City police, instead of rationalizing with this man, instead of shaking his hand and talking to him and getting him to just lay down his weapon, they aggressively shot him down and killed him. I would have prevented if they would have kissed and made up. That would have been the best case scenario for the police to just hug the guy, show him love, kiss him, embrace him, and tell him everything's gonna be all right. Don't worry. We love you. If your daddy didn't love you, if your mama didn't love you, if your wife stopped loving you, and you're all mad, we're gonna love you. Put down your weapon. And they talk. But I'm mad because the police shot this man, riddled him with 50 bullets. See, that's what Bradley, in essence, that's how stupid Bradley sounds. Even though the Protestant Reformation was justified. Well, of course it was justified. The Roman Catholic Church was leading millions of people to hell. Of course it was justified. They preach a false gospel. Of course he had to neutralize and put down the Roman Catholic Church. It was leading tens of millions of souls astray each and every day. Yet Bradley says, even though it was justified, it must have broken the heart of God. He's stupid. He's a moron. He doesn't know what he's talking about, like his mama. Here it is again.
Angry. Hates a false witness. This is a classic example where a Disney movie got it right. Who was it? Thumper, if you have nothing good to say, say nothing at all. But this is the one. This is the one you see most. Those who sow division among the brothers. Let me tell you something. I'm thankful the Reformation was necessary in the 1600s. It was important. These things are all important. And I'm glad, as Protestants, that Martin Luther did what he did.
He's no Protestant. He's a mansy-pansy preacher, is what he is. To protest means to put your life on the line, like I have, like others have. That's what it means to protest. To stand in the face of people like your mother and to call her what she is, a Jezebel. That's being a Protestant. Not being this little apologetic, mansy-pansy little preacher who gets his verses and gets his inspiration from Thumper. Oh, Thumper. Well, who are you going to quote tomorrow, Scooby-Doo? Who are you going to quote the next day? Are you going to quote in the next broadcast, are you going to quote Deputy Dog? Are you going to quote Mr. Magoo? Are you going to quote Bugs Bunny, Yosemite Sam? Come on. Are you going to quote, folks, come on. Who's he going to quote? Wile E. Coyote?
That the Catholic Church reformed. I'm glad that there are various reforms that have taken place within the church, but I nonetheless believe that every time a church divides, it breaks the heart of God and makes him angry.
Now, can he give us a Bible verse for that? No, he can't. These are just his personal feelings. This is his dopey rationale. This is a scarecrow. Remember in the song that I played for you in the first two broadcasts about If I Only Had a Brain? Remember when Dorothy says, I thought the scarecrow was pointing to the right hand. And then in the next scene, the scarecrow is pointing to the left hand. And then in the next scene, the scarecrow is pointing both ways. That's Bradley Knight. He's a brainless scarecrow. He'll start pointing you in one direction, and then in the next scene, in a few minutes down the line in the sermon, he's pointing you in the next direction, and then a few minutes later on in the next sermon, he's pointing you in both directions. Let me play that for you. Let me play that little song for you, and this way we can... I can best make the case. Here's If I Only Had a Brain.
Follow the yellow brick road. Follow the yellow. Now which way do we go?
Pardon me. That way is a very nice way.
Now, you see, when he says that way is a very nice way, he's pointing to his left. That's what he's doing. The scarecrow is pointing to his left when he says that way is a very nice way.
It's a very nice way.
Who said that? Don't be silly, Toto. Scarecrows don't talk.
It's pleasant down that way, too.
That's funny. Wasn't he pointing the other way?
Sure. See? When you listen to a brainless scarecrow like Bradley, in one minute he's pointing you in one direction, then the next minute he's pointing you in another direction, and Dorothy says, wait a minute. Wasn't he pointing in the other way? Wasn't he telling us to go this way? And that's how confusing Bradley Knight is. He's no phenom. He's a brainless scarecrow. He's stupid. That's why I just dropped him off. I put him on a special ed bus. And we played the little song, the wheels on the bus go round and round. And I just dropped him off at Romper Room. 3 years old, but he belongs in the kindergarten class. He's quoting Thumper. Saying, my brothers and sisters, you just heard him quote Thumper. Not Solomon. He's not quoting, he's not referring you to Proverbs. He didn't point you to Romans. He didn't tell you, let's read in Ephesians. He's actually quoting Thumper.
Pardon me. That way is a very nice way.
Who said that? Don't be silly, Toto. Scarecrows don't talk.
It's pleasant down that way, too.
That's funny. Wasn't he pointing the other way?
Of course, people do go both ways.
See? You can go the Protestant way. You can go the Roman Catholic way. It's all the same thing. It's all the same thing. See, he's pointing in both directions. That's Bradley Knight. Bradley Knight loves what Luther did. Oh, I love the fact that Luther started the Reformation. Oh, yes, I love Luther. The Reformation was necessary, yes. Thumbs up to the Reformation. And I love the fact that the Roman Catholic Church reforms us all. But you know, my brothers and sisters, God hates it when folk divide themselves. No, God loves it. That's called reforming. That's called reformation. God loves it when the church takes it upon herself to improve herself. And I'm going to show you scripturally. Okay? All right. Here's Bradley. Here he is. Oh, God hates it.
But this is the one. This is the one you see most. Those who sow division among the brothers. Let me tell you something. I'm thankful the Reformation was necessary in the 1600s. It was important. These things were all important. And I'm glad.
If it was important, why weren't you celebrating it during the 500th anniversary? I heard nothing coming out of Apopka. For the whole year of 2017, nothing was said about the Reformation at your church at Apopka. Not one thing. If it was so important, why didn't the Phenom bring it up? If it was so important, why didn't the Phenom ever mention it in any of the weeks there in 2017? Because it's not important. Because he's just giving the Reformation and he's giving Luther lip service. That's all he's doing.
Protestants, that Martin Luther did what he did. I'm glad that the Catholic Church reformed. I'm glad that there are various reforms that have taken place within the church, but I nonetheless believe that every time a church divides, it breaks the heart of God and makes him angry.
Can you give me scripture? Can you give me one little Bible verse? One. Because Stumper's not going to cut it. I'm a Berean. See, as Bereans, we search the scriptures to see if what the preacher is saying is so. But I can't find Thumper's letter to the Scarecrow. I can't find that in my Bible. There is no letter from Thumper to the Scarecrow. There is no epistle from the Apostle Thumper to the people of Apopka. There's Paul's letter to the Corinthians. There's Paul's letter to the Romans. There's Paul's letter to the Galatians. But there's no letter from Thumper to the Apopkians. There's no letter. There's no letter. So as I search the scriptures, I can't find a scriptural basis text that will support your thesis.
Even when it's justified. Division is a sin. It's a sin. There can be a pastor that is wrong, and they can be in need of judgment, but the person who takes it upon themselves ourselves to divide that church will nonetheless provoke the wrath of God.
He hears mother saying, that's right. Don't you dare touch me. I pollute this church. I falsely indoctrinate this church. But don't nobody rise up against me. That's right, Bradley. You keep preaching, Bradley.
Here she is again.
Hear her in the background. That's his mama. That's his mother. That's why she loves him. Because he is perpetuating her lies is what he's doing. Okay? Listen closely.
That church will nonetheless provoke the wrath of God. Okay.
Yeah, okay, we had enough. We had enough. Okay, so now, what is reformation? Reformation is when someone self-improves, okay? So let me just give you some scriptures on personal reformation, how you need to sow division in your personal life. That's right. He says, mark those that sow division. Well, Jesus told me to sow division in my personal life. Let me take you to Matthew chapter 5. Let's go to Matthew chapter 5 because, again, reformation is what? Improvement. You take something that's not right and you improve it. And you improve it by taking some things out, by causing a division. And God doesn't get angry with you when you cause these divisions. In fact, God is very happy with you when you cause these divisions. All right. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse number 29. This is the Sermon on the Mount, or a portion of the Sermon on the Mount. This is Jesus now. Jesus. He says, if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out. Well, what is let me put it for you in layman's terms. What is Jesus doing? Cause a division. If your right eye offend thee, if it's the cause of your sin, pluck it out. Is it from thee? For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. You see, Jesus says, listen, if you got a wandering eye, if you got an eye that's giving you problems, if you have an eye that's very wicked, just one wicked eye, both don't have to be wicked, just one of your eyes needs to be wicked. If it's so wicked that it's going to cause you to wind up in the lake of fire, split from it, cast it away from you, divorce yourself from your eye, pluck it out. It is better for you to go into heaven missing one eye than to be cast entirely into the lake of fire. That's what Jesus is saying. So he's talking about what? Personal reformation. Because it's a dangerous thing. It's a dangerous thing for you not to reform yourself. Why? Because it will lead you to eternal damnation. That's why the Apostle Paul, let's stay here now with Jesus. I'll get to Paul in a few minutes. So, again, if thy right eye offend thee, what? Pluck it out. Divide it, separate it from your body, and cast it from thee. Cast, you know how the same way you excommunicate a church member who won't repent, you excommunicate that eye that won't behave itself. Cast it out. See, my brothers and sisters, this is part of reformation. This is deep reformation. We're not talking about this baloney reformation that Bradley's talking about, which he knows nothing about, by the way. There's all kinds of reformations that we need to continue. Reformation's an ongoing work. And it's supposed to start with every member. Every member is to ensure his own personal reformation. Male and female, you're to take care of your own personal reformation. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Verse 30, if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off. Bradley, that's called division. And it's not going to hurt God. For you to cut off, in fact, these are the words of God. Jesus is God. Jesus is sanctioning us cutting off
our right hand if it causes us to steal, or if it causes us to touch flesh we're not supposed to be touching. If thy right hand offend thee, cut it off and cast it from thee, for it is more profitable for thee that one member should perish than that the whole body should be cast into hell. Bradley, Reformation. This is Reformation, Bradley. Reformation is about division. It's about getting rid of the things that get you in trouble. It's about getting rid of the things that cause trouble. And you cannot have a reformation unless you sever your tithe, unless you cut away all relationship from that thing that is causing trouble. So now let's go to, we're still on personal reformation. Let's go to 2 Timothy. Let's go to the second book of Timothy. Now remember, all Bradley's doing is he's giving you his opinion. That's all Bradley did there. All Bradley did was give you his opinion and quote Thumper. I'm taking you to scripture. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, 2 Timothy 2, 20 and 21, it says, but in a great house, speaking of the church universal, but in a great house are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also vessels of wood and vessels of earthenware. Some vessels are vessels that are of honor, and some vessels are vessels of dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself, if a man therefore would what? Reform himself, get rid of all the sin in his life. If a man would clean up his act, if a man would part way with sin, if a man would part way with evil company, if a man would part way with an evil lifestyle, if a man therefore should purge himself of these things, which, by the way, is reformation, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, clean, and meeting the standard for the master's use. Who's the master? God is the master. Jesus is the master. Ready for the master's use and prepared unto every good work. That's reformation, Bradley. You got to get rid of the junk. You got to get rid of the dirt. You got to get rid of the sin. You got to get rid of the iniquity. You have got to do it on a personal basis. It's an ongoing reformation. Ongoing. But then there's congregational. See, there's personal reformation, and then there's a thing called congregational reformation. Congregational. This is what should be going on in our local churches. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, saints, again, I'm quoting scripture, not Thumper. I'm giving you chapter and verse. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, it has been reported to the Apostle Paul that there is fornication in the church, that there is pornography in the church, the same kind of pornography, the same kind of fornication that Jonathan Cain and Paula White were encouraging people to watch. Remember, so many years ago, just a few years ago, Paula White on a baptismal Sunday, along with her asinine husband, Jonathan Cain, who has no business preaching then or now, another scarecrow, another brainless scarecrow, were encouraging people to watch porn in order to get what, educated about sex. So it was reported to Paul that there was someone in the church practicing fornication. And look what Paul says. Look what Paul says in verse 3. For I verily, as absent in the body, and that's why he's writing them a letter, but present in spirit, have judged already, as though I were present, concerning him who has done this deed. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together and my spirit with you and the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, you should deliver such a one over unto Satan. Deliver him. Cast them out of the church. Deliver such a one. Oh, but brother, we shouldn't be dividing the church. Who said? Thumper? No, Paul said, it says, to deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul goes on to say, in verse 7, Oh, verse 6, excuse me. Your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven, a little Roman Catholicism, Bradley, will leaven the whole lump, will leaven the whole church? Purge out, therefore. What should we do? Kick out. We should separate ourselves. We should divide ourselves from what? Purge out, therefore, the old leaven. Purge out the, what's the old leaven in the case of the Protestant Reformation? Roman Catholicism. Get rid of it. Purge out the old leaven, that you may be a new leavening, a new lump in Christ. As you are unleavened, for even Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed for us. And then Paul says in verse 13, but when it says, but them who are not saved and are outside the church, God judges them. Therefore, dear saints of God, put away from among yourselves that wicked person. There's division, Bradley. Why? Because we must constantly be reforming the local congregation. If someone won't behave themselves, if someone is acting like an evil eye or an evil hand, you're to cut them off from the fellowship. You're to get rid of them, you're to cast them out and hand them over to the domain of Satan. That's called congregational reformation. There's personal reformation, and then there's something that we as the local church body do. We take that rascal and we show him the door. That's what you do, Bradley. That's what you do. Now, let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And we're told here in so many different ways not to be unequally yoked together with whom? With unbelievers. That's what we're told. It says in verse number, let's go to verse number 16. And what agreement have the temple of God with idols? Bradley, what have the temple of God to do with idols? Well, and the Roman Catholic Church is just filled with idols. Don't tell me that they're saints. Don't tell me that. No, they're idols. They're idols. For ye are the temple of the living God, he's speaking to the collective church, for you are the temple of the living God, and God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. As a result of that, it says, wherefore, come out from among them, come out from what? Among them, be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And I will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Having therefore these precious promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves of all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Oh, Bradley, this is congregational reformation. God is asking his people to come out from among the wicked. And the Roman Catholic Church is quite wicked. Come out from among them. This is God says. It says here, it says, again, I'm going to read it. It says, in verse 16, and God hath said, I will dwell in my people and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore? As a result of all these promises from God, wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. In other words, separate yourselves, divide yourselves. In fact, God is promoting division between the clean and the unclean. But I guess you don't see that in Thumper's epistle to the Apopkians. I guess you don't see that, Bradley. I guess not. So those are two scriptures for what? Congregational reformation. And if Bradley were to debate me on the air, I can give him more scriptures, more. Now let's talk about ministerial reformation. Let's talk about ministerial. Let's go to Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2. And this is what a pastor ought to do. This is what pastors are required to do. And remember, one is personal. One focuses on the responsibility of each believer to reform himself. Then the other one is congregational, which makes it the responsibility of every member in the church to kick evil out of the church. Now it comes to ministerial. Now it's up to the minister to make sure that evil gets kicked out of the church. So let's go to Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2. And let's read what Jesus says here in verse number 14 as he speaks to the church of Pergamos. In verse 14, Jesus says to the pastor of that church, but I have a few things against you. That's what Jesus says to the pastor. I have a few things against you, pastor, because you have them in the church that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block upon the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication. You got people in the church promoting Roman Catholic idolatry, and you got people in the church promoting that you can live in sin as long as you can buy indulgences to cast. Listen, you're encouraging people to live in fornication. You're encouraging them that you can live in sin, but it won't affect your grace and your relationship with God. That's basically what Jesus is saying here that he's holding against the pastor. You didn't kick these people out. You didn't kick the few. You have a few in the church that are promoting the same thing that Balaam promoted, fornication and idol worship. You have a few, and you've allowed them. You have not reformed my church. You didn't kick them out. And to the church of Thyatira, which really looks a lot like the church of Apopka, which this church looks a lot like the city of Destiny. Jesus says to this church, the church of Thyatira in Revelation 2:20, notwithstanding, I have a few things against you, pastor, because you have allowed that woman Jezebel, that's Paula, who called herself to be a prophetess, that's Paula. Paula's no prophetess, she's no apostle, she's no doctor, she's a scarecrow. You have allowed a woman, that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication. That's what Paula and her husband did. Watch porn, and eat things sacrificed unto idols. Again, that's that Roman Catholic communion service that you guys are conducting there. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication. She's a nasty woman. Oh, is she a 2 Peter 2:22 style? And I gave her space to repent of her personal fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. And I will kill her children with death. What is he going to do? He's going to wipe her out. Jesus is going to wipe her out. He's going to wipe out her ministerial associates, and he's going to wipe out her followers. That's what Jesus is going to do. He's going to split the church. He's going to keep some above ground, and he's going to put others underground. That's a division, in case you didn't know. When some people in the church wind up in the cemetery and the rest of us are above ground and we show up for worship, that's called a division. That is ministerial reformation. Pastors who didn't clean up the church, pastors who failed to take out the leaven, pastors who failed to get the church back where Christ would want it to be, pastors who allowed sin like leaven to leaven the whole lump or the whole congregation or the whole body of believers. That's okay. So now let's look at the body of Christ reformation. The body of Christ reformation. Let's go to Revelation chapter 19, Bradley. Revelation 19. Revelation 19, verse 7 and 8. It says, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come. Who's his wife? The church. And his wife have made herself what? Ready. How does a woman make herself ready for her wedding day? How does she do that? Well, Listen, she goes to the beauty parlor and she gets her hair done. She goes to the bridal shop and she gets her bridal dress. She gets her shoes. She gets her necklaces. She gets her rings. She gets everything ready for that day. She is reforming herself. She's reforming her hair. She's reforming her face. She's reforming her ears, her neckline. She's reforming her, the way she looks. She's not wearing an office dress to her wedding. No, she's wearing a wedding gown. She has made herself what? Ready. By doing what? By coming out from among the heart of church. That's what she's done. She's made herself ready. And as a result of making herself ready and keeping herself pure, it says in verse 8, and to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. This is a holy church, evangelical church, but a holy church, a church who has reformed itself. Oh, how Bradley hates division. You know why? Because he wants Catholics and evangelicals to hug and to kiss and to make up. But if you hug and you kiss and you make up with the harlot church of Rome, you're not the bride of Christ. You're not. So to that we say, no can do. My brothers and sisters, Bradley Knight, again, does not know what he is talking about. The man, the young man, simply does not know what he is talking about. Just doesn't know. And so now, before we conclude the show, I want to go pick up Bradley at Romper Room. If you would just go with me for a few minutes here, we're going to go pick up Bradley. The day is over. Class day is over. As you know, when kids are in kindergarten, they go to school only for half a day. So here is Bradley at Romper Room. Let's just listen into what the teacher is saying to all of the little children.
You have a good day today, friends.
Yay.
I did.
Superman Day.
What a Superman Day. Well, I'm glad
you
hear that.
Spider-Man Day.
Wow. One of the boys said, I had a Superman Day. And another little boy raised his hand and said, I had a Spider-Man Day. And Bradley was going to say, I had a Scarecrow Day.
Good. I'm glad to hear that. Well, you know what? Wait. You know what time it is? Time for me to see the friends at home in the magic mirror. Romper, bomper, stomper, boo. Tell me, do. Magic mirror, tell me today. Did all my friends have fun at play? All my friends had fun today. I see David's having a special day today, and Olivia Joy had a special day on Sunday. I see Robin had a special day yesterday, and Dana's having a special day today, and so is Reginald and Edward John and Margaret, and I see Justin and Megan and Courtney and Brick and Mark and Rachel and Sheila and Caroline are all having special days, and Cicely and Ashley and Matthew and Jose, and I see Bonnie and Anthony and Joe had special days yesterday, and so did Tammy and Brandon and Gregory, and of course, friends, you know I see you. And
yeah, but Bradley didn't have a special day because you didn't mention him. I guess he's not a phenom. I guess Bradley isn't all that special because nobody's really talking about Bradley. Nobody's really mentioning how special the little tyke is. Well, it's time for the little moron to get on the bus. I got to take him back home to Apopka. Here's the song, Saints. I'll be back on Wednesday to do another show on Bradley Knight not being the phenom that his mother claims that he is. God bless you, saints.
Door. On the